the heart and attitude and everything of our lives change as a result of reading the Bible. We begin to see as God sees, and it impacts. It doesn't. The Bible is one of those things, as we'll see from our main verse today, that doesn't leave you the same. It's living and powerful and active, and it just molds and shapes us. And then we begin to change really from the inside out. So the truth is, none of us, when we have a little ding on our phone, none of us ignores a text message. We all read it. We don't even ask, did you read my text message? We say, did you get my text message? And our tendency is to ignore the most important text that we've ever received. And that's the Word of God, the Bible, that has given to us by our Creator, God. And He's given us this, Heavenly Father has given us this Word to instruct us and help us. Not to be a killjoy. He created us and He knows what works best for us. And He gave us this to speak to us. So for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about different components, why we should read the Word the first week. And then last week, maybe you've been a Christian a long time. You knew everything I said. That's okay. It's a good refresher, and it's for those who maybe didn't know that. We kind of took the Bible all apart and put it back together again and showed you how that worked. And if you want one of the cards that we gave away, I think they're out on the table this morning in the foyer. But we've been talking about reading it for the last 2 weeks. And today we're going to get in some specific plans. As much as we want God to do things for us, sometimes God wants to say something to us. Sometimes it's something we're involved in our life and He wants to get our attention and have us change something. Sometimes it's not all miracles in our life. As much as we might want it to be God just zap us, sometimes it's a process that He wants us to go through. So He wants to speak into our lives. He wants to say something to us. And Christians, for centuries, Christianity, people that have followed Jesus know that the primary way that God speaks isn't by mystical things in our ear that we hear. The primary way God says things to us is through His Word. He has taken 40 different men over a period of about 1,600 years to write down one story, and it's a cohesive story. In fact, if you hear from the Lord and it is contrary to what God says in His Word, you didn't hear from the Lord. That's just a matter of fact that we can say that because God doesn't do things that are contrary to His Word. So today I want to talk to you about some practical things that you can do to get the most out of your listening time. To get the most out of when you want to hear from the Lord, how practically can I do that? The first three things are so important. God can speak to you, and I want to just give you this disclaimer. I'm not trying to put God in a box. God can speak to you any way He wants. He's God, and I'm not, and I can't tell Him what to do any more than your toaster can tell you what to do. You know, it's the same thing, and He can do anything He wants. We're not putting God in a box. We're just prioritizing. Today's lessons is just going to help us prioritize our heart around and being put in a position that we can hear from God. And that's so important to do, to develop a listening heart. So today, we're going to talk, first of all, about the vital three things. If you don't get anything else and I don't get into any other points, I want these three things to be in your heart. Pick a time, pick a place, pick a plan. Pick a time, pick a place, pick a plan. That's pretty easy. So let's all go home now, right? Pick a time, pick a place, pick a plan. Say that with me. Pick a time, pick a place, pick a plan. If you'll do those three things and consistently read God's Word, those three things, you will be far above a lot of other people that call themselves Christians. And that's probably the wrong comparison. I probably shouldn't have said that. That wasn't in my notes. This isn't a contest in that way over your brother or sister. That was probably a bad thing. But everybody I know that reads Scripture on an everyday basis, on a regular basis, at a specific time, They've set up a time in their calendar, and they're really consistent. I'm not talking about legalistic consistency. I'm not saying I got to do this or God's going to be mad at me or I got to do this and I'm going to win favor or points with Jesus. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong motive. This is just to draw close to God and say, God, I want to hear from you today. You're the most important thing in my life. You're the most important person in my life. You're my very best friend, and I want to spend time with you. How many, if you're married, I'm not going to do a show of hands, I'll embarrass anybody, but if you're married and you don't set aside a date night once a week, that's not a good thing. If you have come to us for counseling on marriage, that's one of the very first things, because a lot of couples get in trouble about they just quit spending time with each other. They quit making that a priority. If you don't make your wife, guys, if you don't make her a priority in your life, your marriage is going to suffer. Ladies, if you don't make... I see all these... No, don't do that, because ladies, if you don't make your husband a priority, your marriage is going to suffer. It's reciprocal. And guys, I want to tell you, if you don't make God a priority, right? Same thing. What if you didn't speak to your wife for 3 days? How many times do we go with how busy life gets and we don't really spend much time at all? We might legalistically say grace before the meal, but we don't really spend any time with God, right? We'll go 3 days, a week, and He's the most important relationship you could possibly have. The people that are really successful in their Christian walk, and I don't mean perfect. I mean like they just, you can ask them a Bible question and they know it. You can ask them a piece of information and they know it. You can ask them not just information, but you can go to them for counsel or wisdom. And it's the people that consistently spend time in God's Word that have that depth in their life. And what they've done is they have scheduled, they have set aside on purpose, set aside like a date night being scheduled. It's scheduled on my calendar. You can look on my calendar and see date night is scheduled. What happens if I didn't schedule date night? Let me tell you, it would just not happen. It would not happen. And you have to schedule. It's my devotions are the first thing on my calendar. Even before my run, my devotions are on my calendar every day. So every day, everybody needs to put a specific time. Jesus commented on this, and He modeled it as it relates to prayer. He was constantly pulling away early in the morning. Usually early in the morning, it would say, Jesus went to a solitary place to what? To pray. So many times it says that. So many times in the Bible. He modeled this to His disciples. They would wake up and they would go, where's Jesus? And they would go on a search. I bet it was like a game. Who could find Jesus first, you know, in the morning? And they would go out and see out, and they would find Jesus praying all by Himself in the morning. That's what they would do. And so he said He would, when you pray, you should go into your inner room, right? That's another passage. So there was not only a specific time that Jesus modeled, but also a place that Jesus modeled. So choose a time, schedule it, think of this as your appointment with God, and make it a habit in your life. Make it a habit in your life. We schedule what's most important to us, don't we? We schedule doctor's appointments. What's that doctor just said? Just show up whenever you need me, right? That would be a nightmare. We schedule what's important to us. We schedule some things that aren't important to us. So how much more important is this to schedule? Mornings, I believe, are the best times. I really talk to people about that. In a practical way, you can do it in the morning, and it helps you set up this command. Matthew 6:33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is a way to seek it first in the morning. And I think there's a biblical precedent for that. That doesn't mean you have to do it in the morning. I'm not saying, you know, that's the only time you can do it. It says morning and evening in the Psalms chapter 1. But even if you do it at noon, some people do that, or some people get dressed and go to work and sit in the parking lot in their car, you know, and do it there. That, you know, whatever works in your schedule and in your life, that's fine. I just, for me, find that morning works better. And usually in a lot of people I know, morning works better. Why? Because life tends to crowd out devotions. If I don't do it, and I'm the preacher, if I don't do it first thing in the morning, usually I start getting phone calls and just life happens. And I get to like 10 o'clock that night and I go, I never read my Bible. I never prayed. You know, what's up with that? So, it also serves to mentally and morally reboot. How many of you know when your computer gets real slow, you have to reboot it? Well, you know what? I think in the morning it's a good time to reboot your life. And using the Word of God to reboot your life is a good thing to do. I think it serves as a reboot to your conscience. It reboots your perspective. It clears out all the mind cobwebs, and maybe you faced some stuff yesterday that was tough to deal with, and it can breathe new life and new energy into you. It can tell you how to love that person that's incredibly challenging to love. Whatever it is you're going through, it clears out the previous confusion in your life so many times. It prepares you for the day ahead. So I think morning is just the time to do it. Now, it also ensures that nothing will interrupt your time with God if you do it first thing. That's what I find. You know, I hate to be in the middle of like this really prayer and I'm like really focused and then my cell phone starts to ring and I silence it and all of that. But, you know, it's just you got to read it. You know, it's just one of those things, you know, and so you get interrupted and then it takes you a few minutes to get back, you know, and so on. It's just distracting. So I also know that some of you aren't morning people. My wife, don't tell her I said this, she is not a morning person, right? It takes her about 10 o'clock and about a pot of coffee to wake up. And she's, everybody knows that. You know, she could have an IV and I could start at about 3 a.m. She'd be good at 8 o'clock, you know, but that's not the way it is. And so she's not a morning person. But I say to morning people, I like to, at least I think it to morning people, you got to do something first in the morning, don't you? I mean, you still, if you're not a morning person, you still have to do something first. How about replacing that first with God's Word? That would be just a good priority to have. If you can't do it in the morning, that's okay. You know, just whatever. You just make sure you have it on your calendar, your schedule, and try to get the best time of the day for God. So choose a time, choose a place. Pick a time, pick a place. Choose a place where that's pretty much all you do there. Maybe it's not all you do there, but pick a place that's kind of special for you. It can be a chair, but when you go to sit in that chair, that's your devotion chair. If you come to the prayer meeting in the morning, we all pretty much sit in the exact same chairs every day, don't we? You know, it's not a legalistic thing, but it's a special thing for you. Maybe a room in your house. Years ago, we had an extra bedroom, and I kind of set up my prayer in one part of my den. I set up my prayer area in that particular spot, and it was my spot. Some people have. You ever seen the movie War Room? Right? And she had a prayer, literally took that and had a converted a closet. And that was her war room. That was where she prayed. That's where she did spiritual warfare. And that's where she spent time with God. That was a special place. And that can elevate it to a level of importance. And you leave the cell phone and all the distractions outside. And the children know, or whatever you're dealing with. If mama's in there, you know, don't bother you. You know, she's with Jesus. And don't, you know, and so it can be a good thing. So in addition to pick a time, pick a place, you need a plan. You need a plan. Pick a plan. And there are many ways to do this. You have a card right there. Ellen, give me one of those cards there. Thank you. And there's another one there you can have. In your seats, there's some cards. And I got you three Bible reading plans, a Bible reading guide there. And there's three plans on this card. We're going to give you a few other options than that. The first plan is exploring Jesus in 21 days. If you pick this plan, it's like something I would like. I'm a systems guy. I like to do things of the same way every time. And I like this. It lays it out for me. Day one, I got to read Luke chapters 1 and 2. I can do that. That's like something that's cool. I can go check and I can get that done, right? And so Luke, day 2, day 3, day 4, and in 21 days you've read through the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of John, and you'll pretty much have went through the life of Jesus twice. And you'll get a really good thumb sketch of what Jesus' life and ministry was all about from those two perspectives. And you can go do Matthew and Mark if you want. But it's just a great way, if you're not that familiar with Jesus' teaching or whatever, you're kind of new to this, and you've gone been curious about that, that's a great place to start. The second plan is a sampling of Scripture. Maybe you're a little artsy, you know, and you don't like to do the same thing twice. You don't like to have a system. Systems like rub you the wrong way. You don't brush your teeth the same way every day. I do. You don't. You know, you have your certain order that you do things. You don't do that. You know, you just don't like that. That's fine. You know, this plan's probably for you. If you're a systems guy, this probably isn't for you. You're going to like, I want to read Genesis 1 through 25 and just sometime during the week get that done. And then I'm going to go to Exodus. I didn't finish Genesis. You know, what's up with that? I can't finish. This wouldn't work for you. So don't do that. But if you're artsy and you need something, you want like a Bible sampling in 10 weeks, like a sampling, you're going to get some literature. You're going to get some poetry. You're going to get some wisdom literature. You're going to get a little bit of the Gospels, some prophecy, some letters. You're just going to have like a Bible sampler in no particular order. It's just going to be there. And listen, it tells you what to do the first week. You can do that in any like all of it. And Monday, you know, whatever works for your artsy brain that I could never possibly understand or figure out. So that's that plan. The third plan here is reading the Bible in a year. And again, to keep it condensed so we could get it, I had one that was like 6 pages, and so to get it condensed on one page, we just gave it for the week. Well, you can do this Bible reading plan and just divide that reading up into a week, and you'll have read through the Bible an entire year if you do this plan on the back. And so that's a cool way to do it. I want to tell you a couple of additional plans. If you're here just checking things out, you're not sure about the whole miracle scene or the Jesus, you're just kind of, you know, you maybe even people think you're like super spiritual, but you're just kind of there on the fence or whatever. We're glad you're here. But I've got a good plan for you this morning. And if you've got a friend maybe at work that's not sure about that, but he goes, you know, just talking about the Bible, you can entice him by talking or her to read through Proverbs. And Proverbs is an easy thing. There's 31 chapters. A lot of months have 31 days, right? So the way you can do this for a few months or a year or whatever, and this is how I started to read the Bible. My dad said, if you want to be successful in life, you have to read the book of Proverbs. And not just once, you got to read it over and over and over. Because Proverbs is one of those books that if you read it today, and you read it this month, and you read it next month, you're going to find things next month that you never saw this month. And then you're going to read it again. It's every time I read Proverbs, I see something new in it, because it talks about every single subject under the sun more than once. It's an amazing book. Relationships, sex, women. Guys, you might need that. You know, it talks about women. It talks about friendships, relationships, work, business, all kinds of different subjects in there. And so you'll want to read that. And if it's May, today's May 22nd, you go to Proverbs 22 and you read that chapter. And that's what you read today. If it's May 2nd, you read the second chapter of Proverbs. That's, so whatever day it is, if there's only 28 days, you go back. You just do whatever day of the week, whatever day of the month it is, you go to that chapter and you read it. So that's another plan. Now, another plan that this is not in your notes here, but another plan is to simply read a section a day. And I didn't do that until I came to this church. That's how the prayer team reads the Bible in the morning. They read a section. What I mean a section is they'll read a particular book, and they'll just do, like you see there's like section headings like Peter's first denial, and that's all they'll read, just that little bit. And then sometimes it's an entire chapter, but they'll just read one section, and they'll think about that. They'll talk about it a second, but that's it. And I was going, man, it's going to take us forever to read anything, you know? And I was amazed after a couple of months how much of the Bible we actually got through, how many books a year we could actually finish by not reading much, just a section. And it did something for me. It allowed me to read so slowly through it that I just thought about it more, and I was excited about that. And that sort of kind of caught my attention. So that's another thing you can do. You can kind of squeeze, if you've been reading the Bible. I think when you begin, you should read for distance, and you should get as much under your belt as you can so you can just have an overview of it. Ellen suggested a children's Bible just to get it into you and just to get kind of a thing you can start putting, you know, hooks on, and you can start hanging thoughts on it as you hear your sermons and stuff. But after you've been that a while, you probably want to slow down and start thinking through some passages. That's another way. Now, I brought some Bibles with me this morning, and Ellen got all excited about it. But here's another, you can get Bibles that are a one-year Bible. You know, you got the one-year plan, but this Bible is got a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament every day, and a little piece of Psalms and a little piece of Proverbs every day. You get those four things, and some people like that. And so I've read through a Bible like this, and it has the day of the week. I open it, that's my birthday. Isn't that cool? I don't know how I did that. And so you just have that, and it's all laid out for you, and you read that every day. And then if you're like me, you get like a day behind and you go, oh, I got to start over now, you know, but you don't really have to start over, and you can just pick up where you were at. And I did this 1 year, and, you know, it took me about a month and a quarter to read it because, you know, things happen, or I couldn't get all the reading done that day. And I just kept going, and I tried to do a day, you know, and I didn't worry about the days. So don't be legalistic like that, or you can catch up and do 2 or 3 days for a while or whatever to catch up. That's the biggest problem with that, is catching up. This was probably my best devotional year of my life. All right, I read the Bible for the first time chronologically. Read the Bible many times through before this, but never like a chronological book. And this particular Bible is the one I recommend, because David will fight a battle and then he'll write a psalm about it, and the psalm will be right after the battle. And it's just so cool. It just takes the pieces and puts them in the right order. Jesus' ministry takes all four of the Gospels and puts them in order. And so you're reading a little bit of Matthew and then jumps to Luke, and you're going, wait. And you know, it just reads like a story, and it's so cool. And it has a little sunshine every day that a new day starts, so you don't have to. It says July 18th. You can do that or whatever, but it's just incredible. It has a little bit of commentary, so if something else is going on in some other area of the world, in Rome or whatever, it'll kind of fill you in with history just to keep you kind of in the sink, you know, with what you've learned in school and all. It's just a great little, it's a great way to do it. And this was probably my richest year. This particular Bible, they have another one. This particular one is not got like duplicates. So if it's in 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, thank you, it won't, if it's word for word, it'll reference both scriptures, but it'll just have it once. So again, it's like a book. If you get another chronological Bible, it's fabulous, but you're going to read the 2 Samuel account, then the Chronicles account, and you're going to read it twice. And that's okay too. Sometimes we need to be told things twice, so that's okay. So if you want this, this is out of print, but you can still get it on Amazon used, sometimes in brand new condition. And I'll leave these up here. You can come get the ISBN number and search for that, and it comes right up on Amazon, and they're fabulous. If you want some depth, if you want some explanation, you're going to read through a section, you're going to read through it a little more slowly, there's a great study Bible. This happens to be my favorite study Bible, and I have it. You'll say, well, that's not very worn, Pastor, but I have used it a lot, and I have it online, so I don't have to, you know, but I still refer to it once in a while. But this is the MacArthur study Bible. And he has just brilliant notes and maps at the bottom and the scripture up top. There's lots of study Bibles. This is probably my favorite because John MacArthur is one of my best in-depth authors. Don't always agree with everything he says, but that's okay. I don't agree with... Anyway, he's one of my favorite authors besides Warren Wiersbe, and he don't have a study Bible, so this is just a great Bible. I'll leave this up here too, and you can look that over if you want also. So those are just a few plans. And if you pick a time and you pick a place and you pick a plan, you're probably going to be pretty successful in your Christian walk. You're probably going to have a lot of depth in your spiritual life. You're going to grow and be more like Christ, and you're probably going to level out and just be on a consistent growth rather than these extreme ups and downs and so on. And you know how that goes in our life sometimes? You're going to have some more consistency. You're still ups and downs. That's just life. But you're going to level off and be able to handle situations better. You're going to see some incredible growth in your life because you're going to be hearing from God. You're going to be hearing from the Lord. So the next part is optional. If I had anything to skip today, if I had to skip anything, I was going to skip this part, but we got time to go through it. So this part is optional. The main thing is pick a time, pick a place, pick a plan. You got that? All right, so let's move on. I think it's really helpful to interact with your Bible. I think it's really helpful to interact with your Bible. So the first thing to do to interact with your Bible is to get a pen or a marker. Or, you know, sometimes they have those pencils that don't bleed through the papers because the papers can be pretty thin. You get a 2,000-page book and the pages have to be thin, right? So you get a 2-bolt of a marker, it'll go through. So you can get little pencils at the, you know, you can order them on Amazon or at the Bible bookstore, and they're great. And you can do all kinds of colors and cool stuff. And if that's too much for you, you know, just stick with a blue pen or whatever your favorite pen is, and underline and put little stars. You'll see when I did a study through Isaiah in my Bible of the of Jesus, of the Messiah, you'll see everywhere in my Bible that has a reference to a prophecy of Jesus, I have a little David star there. And so it's on the side so I can read through Isaiah quickly and just read of all the prophecies referencing Christ. And I'll come through another one and go, oh, I've missed that one, and put a little David star there. And then different things, you know, in the New Testament, I have a big H on the side for any time healing is referenced. And I can go through my Bible and quickly encourage somebody and find all the H's and show them how many times Jesus healed everyone or all people. And so, you know, there's just that. And then wisdom is a big W. And I got different markings for different things. Promise, what do you think that is? A P. See, this is pretty simple stuff. Now, there's no points off if you use something different. God's not going to be mad at you or, you know, zap you or give you a bad luck in your life or anything. You can have any system you want, right? There's a thing called put-offs and put-ons in the Bible. God will say, you know, stop drinking, instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's a minus for put-offs in my Bible and a plus for put-ons, right? And so that's a good system. You know, stop stealing. If you have a problem with stealing, that's a minus. And he says, start working with your hands and giving your stuff to the poor. And there's a plus. You know, that's instructions to handle life. And if you have a difficulty in that area, you can not only do the put-offs, you got to put the put-ons, right? So there's a system for that. And you can mark that. Now, you can develop your own. If you're artsy, you're going to want, you know, that's like your release. You can, like, you know, you'll have like the amazing colorful, like the Technicolor Bible or whatever. If you're, you know, other, and I think you should put notes in your Bible. Maybe I have important dates. You know, I went through this thing and a counselor shared with me or some friend shared with me or told me something and took me to a verse, and I put that in my Bible, that date. Or maybe, you know, God spoke to me in a certain way and I read the Bible and I was like, wow, God, you put that in there just for me. And I dated that and put a little note in there so I could keep that. And as you go through that, you know, you'll see my Bible is well marked, and that's just, you know, and I got different colors in here and highlighters and all of that. And then you'll see I even have napkins and notes. There's my napkin. I have napkins in here because I was doing devotions. I don't want to lose those notes. So I just taped them in the margin there. So that's a good thing. So you can do that. Now, some people say, I could never write in my... This is God's holy word. Right? And I just want to be real with you, and I want to push back a little bit on that, okay? And I believe in reverencing the Bible. I get all of that. But I find that the people that have, this is God's holy word, I can't even touch it, they don't read it. Right? Right? So you got to get over that. Now, John MacArthur will tell you, this guy, he'll say, you need a new Bible, you need to mark it up. Every preacher that I know pretty much says, mark it up. You know, you need to write your notes in there and you need to make it yours. And he says you need a new Bible every year, and that's probably not a bad idea. I just can't get rid of my old one. You know, this is like my baby. If I lost this, I would be so sad. You know, and so he says a new Bible every year, and that probably is a good idea because he says if you mark the same thing and you're reading it, you're probably going to go back to that same slot every time. And there's some truth to that. I have to really force myself to read between the markings sometimes because I'm like reminiscing as I'm going. I remember that. That was so cool. And so a new Bible is probably a good idea. I haven't done that, but I can see the value in that. So maybe a new Bible every year and you just remark it up and do a new thing with that. So that's another thought there. And that's probably some value in that. So regardless of how you do it, be interactive with your Bible. Write in it and make it your own and make notes in it, all of that. That's really good stuff. And then I want to encourage you to memorize it. We talk about it. We have a memory verse every week. Can I pick on you a minute? Do you have your memory cards with you? Can I just show you one of my best students ever in my whole life? She's like so amazing. And look at this. She has this. Just give me the whole thing because I want to show them your little pouch. So look, she did this. Did you handcraft this, or is this? Oh no. Okay. So this is Susan's, and she keeps her cards with her, and she's done like every one of her verses here, and then she can just go through them. I don't know if this is all of them. Is this all of them? So pretty soon she'll have to maybe have one at home that she's, you know. So, but that's good. So I used to have a box in my office, and then I would take out. I'd like have them in categories. I'd take that out and keep those with me for a while. And then put those back and grab my next one. So, because what happens is you lose a little word or whatever. So you just got to keep refreshing them. So this is a great way to just keep it with you and, you know, memorize God's Word. Put it on a card, maybe a 3x5 card. This is 4x6. And you can see that. I hope I didn't embarrass you. That wasn't my point. Oh, sorry. That was impromptu. I don't normally do that. So memorize God's Word. Jot it down. Keep it. Some people just keep them in your Bible and work through the cards. That's a really great thing. And then pray through it. This is so important. As you do read the Bible and when you pick a time, you got your appointment, you pick a place and you're reading through the Bible and you say, God, help me to be more like David. And that's one of my prayers every day is, God, help me to listen to you, to inquire of you, to know your will before I make a decision, just like King David did. And I have his name right there in my prayer journal. That I'll make decisions just like King David did and not make any decision without inquiring of you about what you want. Help me to do that. I have a tendency to be quick, you know, make decisions and move on with life. I'm action-oriented, and I got to slow down and say, wait, I don't know what God wants me to do here, so let me just wait. That's not a bad thing. I'm not procrastinating. So that's important. Or God, help me not be like King David in that area, right? That's not a bad prayer either, you know. Or, you know, there's other things, Judah and so on. And then, Lord, when I face a trial, remind me that it's a test of my faith, that that's not necessarily a bad thing. We reference that in the prayer because I was reminded of that this week. You know, we have mountaintop experiences. They're great. But God also shows up and we may not feel his presence in the valleys, but he's just as in the valley with us as he is with the mountaintop. We may just sense it more on the mountaintop, but he's there with us in the valleys. Let me tell you. He's, in fact, usually carrying us through the valleys, and we don't even know he's there, right? Lord, help me to forgive just as you have forgiven me. How's that for Ephesians 5:2, right? You know, help me forgive as you have forgiven me, God. That's a great verse to pray. Help me to do unto others, God, as you have done unto me. Help me love my wife, God, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Guys, you can pray the verses in the Bible. That is the will of God, and there is never any question about any of that. You can go to just about any verse in the Bible. It's called Praying the Bible. Love must be sincere. God, help me to be sincere in my love just as you are. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Can you see how you can pray all of that? You can praying is just reading and praying the scripture as you pray through it. So that's a great thing to do. Pray the Bible. So pick a place, pick a time, pick a place, pick a plan. Get in it. Make it your own. Read through it. All of that. We all get feedback from a variety of sources in life, from our friends, from counselors, from all this stuff. This book is an opportunity to get feedback from your life, from your Creator, from God, who loves you infinitely more than every single one of those other people all put together. God loves you more, and He sent you a text. I left message off because it's literally referring to the text of this. It's kind of a wordplay if you didn't get that till now. So anyway, God sent you a text, and He wants you to read it. He wants you to read it. He wants you to be a part of it. Here's how one author put it. In Hebrews 4:12, it's our scripture verse for the day. It's a great verse to memorize on a 3x5 car. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Bible will never leave you the same as where it found you. Read it. God sent you a text. Read it. Read it. Read it. It'll change your life. From time to time, people say, Pastor, I wish I had heard this sermon 10 years ago. It's something I'm preaching through. I wish I had applied this before I got that car or before I married that woman or whatever the case is. And it's a little bit like The Wizard of Oz. You know that dumb movie that I'm sorry, you meant like Wizard of Oz. And she gets all the way to the end. It's a two-hour movie. It takes her 2 hours to figure out how to go home. And the Glinda, the good witch, she says, well, Dorothy, you had it with you all the time. You had those ruby lilies. All you had to do is click them, and you go zoom. And you go around. And it's like the movie could have been so much faster if she had just done that, you know. And so that's the way. You have the Bible right there in your hand. If you don't have it in your hand, there's one in the seat in front of you. Just get it and take it home with you. And you have it, right? Well, you don't have to wait on pastor's sermon series on relationships or whatever it is, as wonderful as that might be or whatever. You have all of the information right here. You have it, and you don't have to wait for the end of the movie. You don't have to wait until it's too late. You can start reading it and applying that truth in your life right now. So don't wait. It's living, it's active. Pick a time, pick a place, pick a plan, and get to it, all right? Father, we love you today. We praise you. God, I don't know, I couldn't say a whole lot more about this. I've done everything I think I can do. Now, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come alongside of what's been preached, and we've esteemed the Word of God over the last, today and the last 2 weeks. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you would fill our hearts with a yearning, a desire, a passion to know your word, to apply your word, to do your word, to read the text in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray that you would change our lives from the inside out because it's active and living and it's sharper than a two-edged sword and all of that, God. We love you today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.